Welcome to Alaska's Native Voice. I'm Antonia Gonzalez from the Alaska Airlines Center in Anchorage for the Native Youth Olympic Games. We're talking about Indigenous women today, but first I'm here with Jill Freitas and an update on Jill. Good morning.
Good morning.
And let me know, what is NYO so far? What's been going on?
Well, so far we have had about 5 events. They just finished up the scissor broad jump. Yesterday, the first event was the toe kick. And for the girls, we have first place Abigail Semikin from Selamatov at 62 inches. First place for the boys, we have Rafael Hernandez from Unalaska at 80 inches. For the wrist carry, we have Eulalia Roman from Matsu A at 322 and 4¼ inches. Okay, let's see. Yeah, and for the boys, we have Declan Nettleton on Alaska. We have 444 feet. Okay, so for the girls, it was 322 feet and 4¼ inches. Okay, now I got it. For the boys, we have Declan Nettleton on Alaska, 444 feet, 7 inches. For the Alaskan high kick, for the girls, first place, we have Cece Carter and Matt Sue A at 74 inches. And let's see here, boys. We have Caden Parker on Alaska, 90 inches and 2 millimeters. Let's see here. For a scissor broad jump, girls, first place, we have Cece Carter, Matsu A, 28 feet and 9 inches. For the boys, we have Colby Clark Pruitt from Mount Edgecombe High School, 37 feet, 7 and 1/4 inches. And as far as... Oh, yeah, we just got the update from the scissor broad jump. Okay. Okay, yeah, and so these events right now, they some of them take a little bit longer and some of them go by pretty fast. The scissor broad jump, for example, goes by really quickly because you have multiple athletes lined up at one time, so it gets done. Right now, we are actually looking on the floor. They're doing the blanket toss that they do every single year to honor the high school seniors who will not be a part of these events anymore.
And also, you had mentioned some of the scores on Thursday. We had the toe kick, wrist carry, and Alaskan high kick. Today, as you had mentioned, the scissor broad jump. We'll also have the Inuit Eskimo stick pull, one-hand reach, and two-foot high kick. And Saturday will be the kneeled jump, Indian stick pull, one-foot high kick, and seal hop. And, of course, the blanket toss is always exciting to see. You know, there's a group of people down there, and the graduate gets to be honored and gets tossed in the air. And it's always great when you see them, like, almost like doing acrobatics, too.
They get up there in the air, and you just see, like, they're up there for such a long time. It's so exciting, and I'm pretty sure the younger grades only watch it and look forward to their turn, whatever comes for their turn for the toss.
And today we are talking about women and girls competing in NYO. Producer Emily Schwing got a chance to speak with an official, Nicole Johnson, and let's hear what she had to say.
What we'll have you do first is tell us who you are and what you do.
Nicole Johnson, N-I-C-O-L-E-J-O-H-N-S-O-N. I am the NYO Games head official.
I noticed your NYO earrings, too. Could you tell us about those?
They are made out of ivory, and they are just a little heart that says it has a little heart and then NYO.
They're so cute.
Made by Sean Cedimona, really good friend of mine.
And where is he from?
He lived here in Anchorage, but his family is originally from Shishmaref.
Okay. And where are you from, Nicole?
I'm originally from Nome, in the native village of White Mountain, but I live here in Anchorage now.
Okay. We're really interested in the role of women in these games. Like, there was a time where there were games women couldn't play, and we're seeing more and more women participating, and, you know, you're a woman and an official. Like, tell us about the female presence at NYO.
I'm going to say in the last 30 years, there's been a huge transition. Just the power of women in general. Our people have really stepped up with the support of the Indigenous Male Society. There are still some of our elders who are very traditional and won't necessarily speak out against it, but won't really support it either. But today's women, along with myself and my daughter, we are very adamant about playing a role in our community. And part of these games, I think without the women, it'd be so unorganized.
I think it's interesting because, you know, culturally, Alaskan Native communities are matriarchal communities. So give me a sense of, like, the power of women in an Alaska Native context.
So I was fortunate enough to be raised, I'm the oldest of three. And there were some things that my father told me that I could not do. He eventually broke some of his own rules and raised me to be a very strong and independent woman. With that confidence, you know, I take other women and tell other women that they have the ability to be a leader and not to let anybody let them doubt themselves about what role they should or shouldn't take. Because there's no reason that we cannot, as women, fulfill the needs of the community in every role. I was raised traditionally. I was fortunate enough to be raised in a traditional household, hunting, fishing. My dad taught me how to work on boats and snow machines, how to shoot. He took me hunting. I was raised to do everything by my father, supported by my non-Native mother. She didn't interfere. She just supported my father and whatever he decided, or however he decided to raise us. And my brothers were also raised to respect women no matter what. Mm-hmm. It's okay to disagree, but support everyone and anyone, regardless of if they're male or female.
How do you think the games themselves empower girls and women?
Our Native games are so special because it's such a community and such a huge family. I've been around these games a really long time, and watching certain individual athletes, male or female, start playing these games because of that community, it makes each and every one of them stronger. There's no shame in playing these games. If, as a role model and mentor, former athletes, coaches, and officials take on the responsibility of making sure that that sense of community, pride, and culture is maintained, not just with the games or the people that they're coaching, but just everybody. Mm-hmm. And the support that all the athletes, the female athletes, too, it's no different for them than it is for the guys. Mm-hmm. And that's been, I'm going to say probably the last 15 years or so, we've seen it grow to where the number of athletes are equal this year. You know, we have 40 guys and 40 girls. We might have 42 guys and 43 girls in one event. And in the last, I'm going to say even the last 5 years, it was even a little bit, maybe 40 guys and 30 girls or 35 girls. And just significantly over the last 5 years, that has really grown.
That's really cool.
It is really cool. Because I looked at the numbers yesterday when they sent them in. I'm like, check that out. There's an even number of boys and girls in almost every single event.
And that was Nicole Johnson, head NYO official, talking with producer Emily Schwing. And we are talking about Native women today and NYO. And I have another guest joining me now is Martha Crow. Martha, please introduce yourself.
My name is Martha. I'm from Igiagig. And I'm here to watch my boy participate in these sports.
And just listening to Nicole speaking about the games and the importance of women and women not only in the games but just in general in life and traditionally. And one of the things that I saw you kind of giggle at was when she said that, you know, women make the games happen.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
You know, we did not have NYO when we were kids growing up, and I really support this program as a parent. I have a son, Leaf, who competes in these sports, and he lives with his dad and his stepmom in Juneau, and they're non-native. And I'm ever so thankful for this program, and I'm so thankful for Kyle Worrell for having Leaf in this program since he was 12 years old, and he's a senior this year. It's his last year, and this is Leaf's connection to having a Native culture in his life since he lives in a non-Native household.
And how important is that to have the cultural aspect, especially, learning about culture, learning from the games? How important is that?
It is so important. I've noticed the difference in Leaf's presence or energy field. Since he's joined these sports, he's very confident. He fits in with the team. Actually, he's team captain. He's amazing. These games are just amazing because I grew up in a small village of about 60 people, and I laughed about women in sports because in my village we're a very matrilineal society. We trace all our lineage through our mother's lineage. And women are, they run everything in our village. I mean, our village is run by women. If you want to see a film, go see the film Unearthed. It's my two oldest nieces are in that story about our fight against Pebble Mine. In a village where Pebble Mine comes in to try to say, this village and this mine location is, where was it? His comment was, I think he said it was nothing, a place in nowhere. I see that film and I think that is so infuriating because it's my slum yore. It's my center of the universe of where I'm from. And it's outsiders want to come in and extract minerals because it's in the middle of nowhere. Oh, that was his term. He said the mining location is in the middle of nowhere. Well, doggone it, that mine in the middle of nowhere is my slum yore, is my center of universe and our way of connections to our way of life through our connections to the land. And with my boy, with NYO, he gets to experience Native cultures, all different Native cultures.
Well, thanks for sharing that, Martha. And I want to also introduce a coach that is now joining us today. Please introduce yourself.
Hello. My name is... All right. Hello, my name is Kaya Ehlers. I am a Salma Tov coach. I've been coaching for about 3 to 4 years, but I've been an athlete previously all my life, basically, since I could walk just around. And yeah.
Well, thank you for joining us. And also Jill. Jill is here. Jill's with KMBA, and she is a producer. Go ahead, Jill.
Good morning. Thank you guys so much for joining us today. Now, Kaya, you mentioned that you were a coach for how do you pronounce that?
Salamatov.
Salamatov. We interviewed one of your athletes, Abigail.
Yes.
She got first place in the toe kick yesterday, which is absolutely incredible. Looking at you, you look very young. So you must have just previously been competing not too long ago.
I turn 24 this year. So, yes, I've been competing, and then I just started coaching right after that.
So it becomes, you know, sometimes you can never get away from it. You know, like, it's part of who you are. Watching these students and watching these, especially the girl athletes, what is it that you see in them that looks familiar, that you see probably in yourself whenever you were in high school?
I think I see some nervousness, but once I see them, like, landing and sticking that, like, after kicking or landing, and this is a broad jump, and, like, seeing them take a breath and just, like, feeling that confidence in themselves again, or that's what, like, gives me joy, seeing their facial expressions, because I have been in that headspace before where maybe I'm a little bit nervous, and then once I do it, I'm like, oh, okay, that was not bad. So I see that, yeah.
What has Native Youth Olympics taught you, not just, you know, as part of sports, but what has it taught you in life?
It's taught me to just keep believing in myself, you know, and keep putting myself out there and just trying new things and trying new events, because previously, like, when I was an athlete, I was so like shy, and I didn't want to go out there and do some of the things because I was embarrassed, kind of. But I think it's really taught me to just, you know, really just try and give it your best, and practice is practice. And I mean, even if you're getting 5th or 10th place, or if you're getting out early, I mean, that's not the point of the games. The point of the games is to come, and we have this family that we've created, and so every time I come here at, like, state NYO or at the regional invitationals, I see other like competitors that I've competed against, and now they're coaching too, or it's just, like, brings family together without actually being related.
Absolutely. We talk about that, the sense of community that you have whenever you come here, running into familiar faces. It has this beautiful energy here. And when coming here every single year, what is something that you either notice is the same, or that you notice as the years keep going that sort of changes as far as the sport?
I mean, I notice, like, unity every time I come to any of these events. That's always, I feel the same. And then, like, I know when I was younger and my older sisters were competing in the senior state NYO, I just remember being, like, a little kid and just, like, watching everybody and everybody getting hyped for the people competing, like, on the other teams. That's always the same and always such good energy for me. That's all I can think of right now.
When it comes to, because we're talking about females mm-hmm. in Native Youth Olympics, you know, what it's, I believe that it's, there's so much strength that comes from women and what they bring to the table. And I think that there's such a balance, and you notice it even in Native Youth Olympics or in any other kind of sport, mm-hmm. that they bring that element to the table that really just sort of enhances it. And whenever you talk to a lot of athletes, you know, boys included, you ask where their inspiration is and things like that. But when, most of the time it's inspiration that their moms or their grandmothers, you know, mm-hmm. that the love and the nurturing that they get from that. So how do you feel about that?
I mean, being a woman and coming into these games and even like some of the strength games, I was always like a little bit like, oh no, we're just girls. But as I've grown and like been to these games, I was a part of the Arctic Winter Games, and I was on the first women's Dene Games, open women's Dene Games team. And that really brought empowerment to myself and like to show my younger sister and to like bring to here and tell the younger girls here too that, you know, things like this are possible for us and we are strong women. And, you know, just to keep encouraging each other, because that's where, you know, that's where it creates paths for other women and for yourself.
And Martha, maybe you can share a little bit about, you know, being a strong woman in your village.
Oh, what was the question? Sorry.
Yeah, just about being a strong woman in your village.
Oh, I come from a family of strong women. There's no denying it. My grandma, my mom, I guess now we, as I stated earlier, we're a matrilineal society, and I grew up with four sisters, and I'm the youngest. Since we grow up in a society that's matrilineal, we get special titles like I'm the youngest aunt. So when my nieces and nephews have kids, they call me Mach or Machi. So I get a new title. It's kind of like a Machunguk or like grandma. Like being a grandma, I guess. So I really appreciate this privilege of getting older because I... We come from a good community of involvement of youth and, you know, I'm an elders in training. So it's, I'm not sure what's the word to describe the feeling associated with NYO and... how I live in Igyagig, and my boy lives in Juneau, to participate in these sports. It's a gift.
And there are a number of athletes from across the state. There's more than 400 athletes participating in the games. Producer Emily Schwing got to speak with Jocelyn Johns and Emma Tipnappy, who are both athletes competing, and ask them about competing as females at NYO.
So I want to ask you guys who you are and where you're from.
Okay.
Go for it.
Okay. I'm Jocelyn Joseph, and I'm from Port Graham.
Okay.
I'm Emma Tipnappy, and I'm from Nanuwalek.
Tell me what it's like to be a girl competing at NYO.
It's fun. It's really fun meeting all these girls. They're super nice, and everybody's so welcoming and helpful.
Yeah. Something that I love is that there was a time where there were some games that girls weren't allowed to play, mm-hmm. and now you can do it all, right?
Yeah.
Tell me about that. What do you think about that?
I think it's cool to get all these opportunities to try new things. Yeah.
Do you feel equal to the boys?
Yeah.
I'm not convinced.
Sorry. somehow. but they're still better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why do you like to compete?
It's fun. I like coming out and seeing everybody and being able to do these events. You can't get that anywhere else.
Yeah. What event do you compete in?
I compete in a lot. Indian stick pole, Alaskan high kick, and I'm going to do 1 foot and then one arm reach and scissor broad jump.
That's a lot of events.
It is.
You're going to be very busy this weekend.
I am.
What does it make you feel like when you're competing? How do you feel?
Excited. Like, I'm just happy.
Right on. Cool.
Yeah.
And Emma, how about you? What events are you competing in?
I did toe kick, and tomorrow I'm doing 2 foot.
Yeah? And how do you feel when you're competing?
I don't know. Nervous.
Nervous. Yeah. Is it fun?
Yeah.
Yeah? And why is it important to you? Like, why are you here?
I don't know. To try something new and meet new people.
Yeah, that's really exciting. Trying something new is really exciting. Awesome. Cool. Well, thank you guys. I really appreciate it. It's fun to meet you.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
You too.
See you.
And that was producer Emily Schwing catching up with some athletes at the games. And also thanks to Coach Kaya, who joined us for a little while, and she's back out there coaching. And one of the things, that is unique about the games is that the boys and girls are competing right next to each other. And so I thought it was funny when she asked about that, being in the games and, competing next to the boys. Jill?
Yes. Their interview was just absolutely adorable, asking them, why they're here and why they do stuff. And it sort of starts off, sometimes you'll hear athletes talk about, well, I was just curious about it, so I checked it out. Some of them have been a part of Native Youth Olympics since they were babies in their mom's tummy. It's just a part of their culture and their upbringing. I love watching everything going on. And you look out on the floor, and sometimes in sports, you could tell who the strongest one is. You could tell who, who the up-and-coming one is. And out here, you really can't tell because they're all so mixed. Like, you have, the really small ones. You have really, really tall ones. But the thing is, the great thing about Native Youth Olympics is that sometimes, being the biggest doesn't always mean, that you're the strongest. Sometimes being small and, for the wrist carry, for example, I know the girls were absolutely amazing with that, having to use their body weight to carry themselves around. And, trying to explain Native Youth Olympics to people who have never seen it or heard of it before, a majority of the time their jaws sort of hit the floor because it's crazy what these people can do and what they can put their bodies through, women especially. And it just, it's a testament to what a great upbringing that they have, and the inspiration that they get from their family or their peers.
And it is exciting to see, all the different athletes from across the state getting together and competing. We are at the Native Youth Olympics in the Alaska Airlines Center in Anchorage, and we are talking about female athletes today, women here at NYO, whether you're competing, you're a coach, you're in the stands supporting one another, and I'm joined with some guests, and we have to take a short break, but we will be right back.
Thank you.
welcome back to Alaska's Native Voice from the Alaska Airlines Center in Anchorage for the Native Youth Olympics. I'm Antonia Gonzalez, and I'm joined with Jill Freitas, KNBA news producer. And now we have an athlete joining us. Please introduce yourself.
Hello, my name is Kimberly Butler.
And tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm a part of the Nikiski team, and would you like to know, like, my favorite events and stuff? Okay, so one of my favorites is toe kick. I started practicing it when they started it in, like, I think it was last year, And yesterday I got second place in it, getting 60 inches. So that was a big accomplishment.
What grade are you in, Kimberly?
I'm in 11th grade.
You're in 11th grade. How long have you been partaking in these events?
Since I was in 4th grade.
Wow. That is absolutely incredible. And how did you get into it? Is it just something that they did in school, or do you have family that participate?
My mom put me in it, and it was pretty fun.
Oh, tell us a little bit about that.
So when I started in 4th grade, we were part of the Salmatov and Kenaitse team, when we were all one big team. And so we were just doing that. I think that's how it started, at least. My mom just put us in there.
Do you know what events that she participated in?
Oh, she didn't participate.
Oh, she was just really into, okay, I got you.
Yeah.
When you're looking out here and you're a part of these activities, what is one thing that sticks out to you, especially about the female athletes, whenever it comes to these competitions?
Probably the sportsmanship and how everybody is just so connected, and you just get a feeling of community, and it's pretty nice, and it's nice to feel other people.
When it comes to, do you play any other sports?
Taekwondo.
Taekwondo.
Yeah.
So when it comes to that, do you notice, and you know, even if you watch sports on TV, when it comes to NYO, do you think that anything compares to that when it comes to the unity and the, you know, the companionship that you get from it? I don't really see
Definitely
it in a lot of the sports.
It. Yeah, this is way different. It's just so much better.
It is. It's a beautiful experience here. What is your favorite thing about being a part of, you know, either the sport or coming here every year?
My favorite thing?
Yeah, like it could be like an event, or it could be... you know, like the blanket toss, for example. What do you love about coming here to the Alaska Airlines Center?
Just coming and participating. That's a big part of it.
Being a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And do you make friends every single year? Do you get excited about?
I try to make friends, but I'm not the greatest at that.
Aww.
I do end up making a few, though.
That's excellent. And when it comes to Native Youth Olympics, you see a lot of athletes, even after they graduate high school, they still take part in NYO. Either they become volunteers or they become coaches. We just talked to a coach a little while ago who used to participate. What are your plans after you graduate high school? Do you plan on keeping NYO in your,
Definitely.
Your life?
I would love to keep coming, and being an official or a coach would be great.
Amazing.
And can you share a little bit about your community? Just, you know, a little bit about where you're from and the community.
So I come from the Kenai Peninsula area, and our team isn't really the biggest. There's like a few families, but we're still pretty tight. And
well, thank you for sharing that. And we have another guest joining us now. Please introduce yourself.
Oh, hi. I'm Kat Branakuchuk. I'm just been recruited.
Well, we're talking about, you know, Indigenous women and, you know, the girls competing in NYO. And also we had an elder come and share some thoughts about, you know, being a strong woman and coming from, you know, strong women in her community. What are your thoughts?
I'm not Alaska Native, but I'm Native from Canada, and I'm an auntie of a lot of kids around here. So it's really nice to come see and cheer them on and just see all the strength and resilience that they have to, like, keep at it at these really difficult and endurance-level games.
And there are a lot of, you know, aunties here, so...
Yeah, I came to recharge
line, right?
My auntie status. Like, I got to come cheer them on and get that strong auntie energy.
Yeah, like even coming around here, you even got some deadly uncles going on. You're like, it's it's a great mix. When it comes to it, and you're talking, you know, being their auntie, what are some things that you say to them to hype them up, to give them that confidence to get through their event?
Oh, it's just support and making sure that they've got snacks if you're in that capacity. My stepkid is now a coach, and so it's a generational thing at this point. So I used to come to cheer her participating. Now I'm cheering her leading the next generation. And so that's really wild to see that development as well, just how it transfers and just keeps going. They don't age out. They just find a new role within this system.
In your opinion, when it comes to Native Youth Olympics, and especially women in this sport, what do you notice is the difference between Native Youth Olympics and any other sport that you see out there?
It's so collaborative. It is so encouraging. And yeah, they're fierce, fierce competitors, but they cheer on everyone. Like, there's not any anxiety in the same way. There's not any, like, meanness here. Like, it's completely about succeeding at your own level as high as you can, but still encouraging everybody else around you, even, you know, the smallest ones get totally encouraged by the most accomplished ones.
Do you agree with that, Kimberly? Yeah.
And Kimberly, maybe you can share what some of your aunties have shared or taught you, some lessons that you've learned.
Just to keep pushing through. When you don't reach a PR that you wanted to, or you didn't do your greatest, you did your best at that moment, and that's what matters. And you can do better next time.
And talking about, you know, the endurance, of course, the physical endurance, but also the mental endurance. You're talking about that. And what I love about this sport, and you watch them out there and you see the focus and determination on their face, is that a majority of them are only just trying to do better than they were last year or even yesterday. And I think that's what Native Youth Olympics really sends as a message to anyone that watches it or participates in it, is just to do your best. And you just try to do better than the person that you were yesterday or the person that you were last year. It sends an amazing message, in my opinion.
And also this year, the MC, last games was Marjorie Taubone, and this year is Caroline Wiseman, and she's up there getting the youth, you know, energized and excited and keeping them occupied when the coaches are busy in the back. Now I have that game forever stuck in my head. What is it called? What was it called?
Mingle, mingle. Yes.
But producer Emily Schwing got a chance to talk to her for, you know, when she was entertaining the athletes. Let's hear what she had to say.
What I'll have you do first is tell me who you are and what you do.
Okay. My name is Caroline Wiseman. And I am the MC for the Native Youth Olympics, but I'm also an official for the different games around the state.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to you specifically because you're the MC and you're a woman. And I want to know, like, what makes this event special specifically for Alaska Native women?
I think that NYO brings, well, just these games in general, bring a sense of community that is important for women. Important for everyone, but to provide that opportunity for women to thrive and also cheer their accomplishments on, and the physical, athletic, mental abilities that they can achieve as well.
I mean, Alaska Native women face some struggle and hardship, mm-hmm. Realistically, you know, like, how does this sort of offer sort of like a pressure release? In terms of, like, working through a lot of that?
Well, these games are something that our people have done forever. And so when you are competing in these events, when you are practicing these different events, you are also walking with your ancestors. And that sense of identity is so important, and can provide that grounding for an athlete who channels that. But also to really strengthen their focus, to be able to work towards something, and to be the best that they can be, and find their role in their community, whether that's as an athlete or after they graduate, to becoming a mentor and being a part of their community and a positive role model for them as well.
Have you competed in these games?
I did in middle school. I compete at the World Eskimo Indian Olympics. I'm more of a strength or pain endurance kind of athlete, but I started officiating probably about 5 years ago now, and I just love these games. So,
when you say a strength and pain athlete, can you tell me a little bit more?
I'll compete in things like Inuit stick pole, Dene stick pole, head pole, but for me at WIO, I really like ear pole. Ear pole is one of my favorite events. I couldn't tell you why. I like it. I don't know.
I mean, it's a game that women weren't always allowed to play.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So tell me a little bit more about that. Now you get to compete in this event, you know?
Yeah. I think there are some games, and, you know, our people have specific reasons for why they do things the way they do and why men can do these and women can't do these. But I think with time and changing of roles in our life, we adapt and we grow stronger in that way as well. So having the ability to have the opportunity to compete is super awesome, but it's also like I said, it could ground you in who you are. So
very, very cool. Thank you.
And that was the MC of the Native Youth Olympic Games, Caroline Wiseman. I'll just go down the line and have you share some thoughts about what she had to say. Go ahead, Jill.
Well, she said so many amazing things that we've all touched on, I think, at least once or twice that we've been here. Every single year, we talk about the same thing, as the unity and keeping the history alive. And, you know, talking about sometimes women could do things and, you know, sometimes they can't. That's changing a lot nowadays, and not just in Native Youth Olympics, but in every part of them. We almost had a woman president. I mean, we're definitely moving up there. And I love the fact that girls nowadays, whenever someone tells them that they can't do something, their reaction mostly is, okay, bet. You know what I mean? And they'll not only do it, but sometimes do it even better.
Absolutely. I love seeing the cultural resurgence in the youth nowadays. Like, it's so much cooler to be Native than it was when I was a kid. And I love seeing even the art that's around. Like, these girls don't have to shed themselves at all. Like, they get to compete in these incredibly intense sports, but they're still wearing the best earrings you've ever seen. And so it's this wonderful mix of art and like athleticism that isn't necessarily present in other sports. And so it's really a unique thing that the femininity, and then, you know, you can still be a tomboy, but you've got great earrings.
And Kimberly?
Describe your earrings. Oh, my earrings. They're just earrings that have three strings down, and one of them has a feather. And I got them at one of the competitions I was competing in. There was a vendor, and I saw them and instantly fell in love with them. So.
Every show, we always talk about our earrings. So describe your earrings.
Oh, mine are small, little carved, I think, caribou antlers. I got them at AFN this year, and it was just meant to be.
Those are unique. I've never seen anything.
Yeah, they're
like
hand
before.
Carved.
That is beautiful.
And Jill, what are your ears?
I got these pretty little earrings that I stole them from my daughter. They're these little glass beads, sort of like the ones that you find on the beach, on these cute little purple beaded earrings. I love them. And yesterday I had walruses.
Oh, nice. Yes. And of course, I'm my friend Shoksani, Indigenous princess. So I have hoops that are made with seal.
Ooh.
And so, you know, I totally have, like, I love earrings. I mean, that's what I buy.
NYO is the best place to showcase them. You'll see these athletes walking around with, like, their basketball trunks on and T-shirts, but they got these huge, huge anti-earrings on. I love that. It's, like, become, like, a trademark.
It's the A-game only today. Yes, your best stuff comes out for this.
And you had mentioned something that was, you know, caught my attention, saying about the young people today and embracing their Native culture and identity. And also we've heard from other students, even Martha was talking about her relative here that she's supporting of, you know, some people don't always have that. They don't have that connection. And I'm lucky that I come from a family, a strong, you know, strong women in my family, my mom. And she always, you know, instilled that be proud of who you are, like from a young age, mm-hmm. be proud to be Navajo, be proud to be Native American. And, you know, was raised with my grandmother who lived to be 99. So I, you know, what you were saying about, you know, the young people embracing their indigenous identity.
Absolutely. Like, we have so much more pop culture presence now, even. Like, the North of North show that just came out, it's fun for everyone, but Native youth are seeing themselves represented even on TV in a positive, encouraging, silly, and, you know, wonderful way. Like, it's something I never had. It was more stereotypical, but now there's actual, real, legitimate representation of us, and it's just so nice to see it across the board in every facet of society now.
Absolutely. And when it comes to, you know, embracing and going back to your roots, you know, some people, you know, even for example, I've known some people who were adopted out and didn't live and grow up in a rural community or an indigenous community. And it's like almost like their spirit's like calling them back one way or another. They find their way back to the community. They reach out.
Yeah, they're reconnecting the right way.
Exactly. Yeah. Reconnecting and embracing it. It's a beautiful thing to see. It's just, it's something that it's a part of you no matter what, where you are.
And we have another guest joining us. Please introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Shugart Limi Dot Sumkshen. My family called me Shugart Limi from short. I'm originally from Matlakatla, Alaska. I live here in Anchorage now. I'm here representing Cook Inlet Native Head Start. I'm our traditional culture coordinator. So I help coordinate all of our cultural activities in our school. And we do NYO twice a week. So we have our tutor site that has NYO on Wednesdays. And then our midtown site, Nakaya Tana 2, does NYO on Thursdays. And so I contract NYO coaches to come and help support our culture team with NYO. My daughter, Ray, is 5 years old, and she's in our Ukpuk class. So this is her last year of Head Start with NYO. And she enjoys stick pull and the two-foot high kick. And so I get to see her progress throughout her school years at Head Start, and really excited to be here at State.
And can you share a little bit more about why is it important for your daughter to be involved and also the cultural aspect of it?
Sure. Well, I grew up in Matlakatla, and we didn't have NYO introduced to us till I think it was just after the pandemic. Nick Hansen was promoting Eskimo Ninja Warrior, and he introduced some of the NYO events to our community. And then he connected some of our teaching staff in Matlakatla with Kyle Worrell. And then he came and he trained a handful of adults in how to teach and coach NYO. And then it just blew up from there. We have 5 athletes from Matlakatla represented at State this year. And so it's been growing a lot. And I'm really excited to see the youth being able to participate because I'm almost 45 and we didn't have positive events like this for our youth to participate in other than basketball. And so it's really good to see that students have other opportunities in being athletic, especially for our girls. And I've been really enjoying watching my 5-year-old get excited about NYO at our Head Start program. And she loves doing stick pull. And she's, for a 5-year-old, I've never seen someone have such good form for the 2-foot high kick at a 5-year-old age. And so I just know it's going to get better and better as she gets older. So really important for our women to participate in healthy athletic activities as a Native person, especially for our women, because there's a lot of balance, I know, in the Tsimshian culture of, you know, the men doing the hunting and the women helping in the process of harvesting and preparing and saving it for the winter time. So it's cool to see a lot of these positive activities for young girls.
And can you share a little bit about what kind of games are in Canada? Are they similar?
Yeah, well, we have NYO in the north as well, in sort of Inuit communities. I'm from around Toronto, so we have Creator's Game, which everyone knows as lacrosse. We have, in the winter, something called Snow Snake, where you throw a stick down a really long snow trench. But my favorite is Fireball. I've never played it, because I'm afraid. But it's literally like a soccer game you play with your hands, and the ball is on fire. So it's quite a magnificent thing to watch. I've observed it at a lot of gatherings, but maybe someday I'll get the courage to join in.
Yeah, that sounds...
It's literally called Fireball.
Well, we have been talking about Indigenous women, Native women today, and participating in NYO, and also watching. There's a lot of spectators here. We sent our producer, Emily Schwing, out into the crowd to talk to people and ask them what they think about women playing the Native games here. And here's one mom, Goldie Westlake.
So tell me who you are and where you're from.
Well, my name is Golden Westlake, and I'm from Kayana, Alaska, north.
Yep, I know where Kayana is. I've been there.
Isn't it beautiful?
So gorgeous.
It's so beautiful.
It's so beautiful. There was a time where there were some games that women couldn't play, and now women are playing all the games. What do you think about that?
I think that's fabulous. It's unfortunate that, you know, they were once excluded from games, but kudos to everybody now who participates and who runs this, the games, to recognize and allow more participation and equality.
Do you feel like men and women are becoming more equal when it comes to events like this?
I feel so. Yeah. It's my first year coming to the senior games. But I like the representation that I see today. I do. And I mean, their coaches and officials are women.
And that was a spectator producer Emily Schwing spoke with. And let me ask our guests, what do you hope for, you know, the young women here with the games and going into the future? We'll start down here.
I just think when you're participating in certain cultural events or if you're hunting and gathering from the land, you find a way to ground yourself. That I know a lot of, especially our young people, go through a lot of different challenges as they get older. And I think participating in our traditional cultures, whether it be NYO or hunting or berry picking or learning how to process some of our seal blubber, when your hands are busy, I think it really clears your mind and has a better mentality for our young people. Because I know when I'm sewing or making regalia or just picking up my drum and dancing with my people, it really clears my head. Because there's a lot of challenges that people go through, especially after COVID. The pandemic was pretty challenging for the entire world. And so just being able to participate in our culture and all of our traditional events and NYO, it's really good. Clears the head.
For sure. One of my favorite things, I'm a trained teacher, is when I look around and see all the kids at NYO, you don't see them on their screens. They are supporting each other. They are actively engaging and like supporting each other and cheering each other on. They're not on their screens. They're not, you know, playing video games. They are in the moment, and I think that's something that communities really need to build and to maintain themselves culturally. So to see that connection for students of this volume is unheard of in many other scenarios, and so it's just, as a teacher, it's wild to see.
Yeah, you meant, like, I didn't even realize that until now. They're not on their phones. That's absolutely incredible. When it comes to, you know, especially women in this sport, you know, watching them and looking at all of them, I think about my own daughters. I have two girls, and I constantly remind them that they could do anything. You know, you try to nurture your kids and tell them that they could do anything. And whenever it comes to it, I love to be, you know, you don't just say it, you try to set an example for them as well. And so I definitely want my kids to get into Native Youth Olympics so that they could watch as well what they are capable of and what they could do. You know, we haven't had Native Youth Olympics in my community in a while. And this just every year makes me just want to bring it back. And that you're actually doing that right now. You're becoming the trailblazer of getting some kids younger and younger into Native Youth Olympics. So I commend you for that.
And we only have a few more minutes left here on our show today from the Alaska Airlines Center in Anchorage for the Native Youth Olympics. And we talked earlier about, you know, having this big auntie power around here. So let's end on auntie advice and we'll start down the line again.
auntie advice. I think being helpful without being asked, I think that's one of our big values in a lot of Alaska Native cultures. If you dirty a plate, wash it. If you drop trash, pick it up. I think that's one of our really important values, and I know I encourage it amongst any kid that I come across wearing that auntie hat, just because I know as a mom, you get pretty busy and stressed out. And if you can get help with just that one dish, washing it yourself, picking up after yourself, it's really important as a mom and an auntie.
Well, thank you for that.
My advice is to tilt your head back as far as you can when you're laughing. It gets way louder. and also, like, anybody can be an auntie. Like, I'm an auntie to a bunch of kids here who I am not remotely related to. But, like, we have that relationship, and so it's important to sort of think that you can be an auntie to anybody. It doesn't have to just be about blood.
I'd have to probably say keeping the balance, you know, being out there, going out there, being a baddie and kicking some booty and then going back and putting your big auntie earrings on at the end of the day. You know, the great thing about being a woman is that you could do both. You could be a feminine queen and walk around all dainty, and then after that you could go out there and set world records. I love that about being a woman, especially an Indigenous woman.
Well, that's all great advice, and I love throwing your head back. I mean, every Native woman I know laughs like that anyway.
I did yesterday, and I hurt myself.
Well, we had a guest yesterday, too, talking about the seal call. We talked a little bit about that and just how that's how they found each other, like in a different country. So.
Yes. Oh, she's going to make me do the bird call again. Dude, I don't know how to do it.
Oh, I don't know this one. I'm from Canada. Our birds don't sound like that.
Your turn, Antonia. Your turn.
Well, that's a great way to end our program today, is just laughing. And I want to thank all of our guests today. We had a lot of different women come on the program today, from elders to young people, and just grabbing people walking right by our broadcast.
We see Emily just running back and forth, just snatching people.
Yes, and thanks to producer Emily Schwing as well. And well, this is going to do it. Jill, tell me a little bit about, real quick, what you're looking forward to your reporting for tomorrow.
Let's see here. Well, of course, we have the main event. I consider it the main event is the 1 foot high kick. It's an event where you jump off both feet, jump up and kick a ball that's very high up and land back on 1 foot. It's a graceful event, in my opinion. So I think that they really shine, and it's one of their greatest events. I'm looking forward to that.
Alaska's Native Voice, live at NYO, produced by KMBA News and Kewaunik Broadcast Corporation.